Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book.com. Did you miss me? Miss me, miss me. Now you gotta kiss me. Did you catch the Obama Nation speech last night? I'll tell you something. I heard the preliminary speech on Drudge, and I said I'm not even going to watch it. Typical propaganda and garbage. But I said I got to torture myself. I was feeling cruel, so I turned on the TV, and I let this abomination. Rustle my cattle. Unbelievable. So, based on the gobbledygook that he spewed last night, insulting the Supreme Court, you think he was at a demonstration, stop the war. Yeah, that's the only poster that was missing last night. But I'll give you my entire interpretation of the whole scenario. And the topic of my epistle. This is St. Thomas to the Babylonians. And the subject is called entitled Dial M for Muslim. It used to be Dial M for Murder. Now Muslim equals murder. In President Butterfly's speech last night, I call him President Butterfly because. Every time I see him bowing to the Japanese emperor, I hear the tune from the Mikado by Madame Butterfly, Un Bel Di. This guy is bowed to everybody but God. Yeah, unbelievable. President Butterfly's speech last night, the only thing missing from the SOS, and you know what SOS stands for, right, was grits. How I wish Uday Pelosi would go to the bathroom before the Academy Awards. I never seen a woman jump up so many times. She should have went to the bathroom and got it over with. Sitting next to Michelle, my big bell, were the two police persons who rescued 60,000 American troops from Hassan, the bad Muslim. Major Muslim, as I call him. Who was always shown in his enemy costume, the uniform of the United States Army. Never do we see this Haji Backshooter in his work clothes, a.k.a. jihad pajamas. I am surprised that when the communist media shows Major Muslim's picture, that's the communist media, that's Marine Killing NBC, it does not show the face of McVeigh on his shoulders. Or Janet Reno. who destroyed Waco like it was Carthage. Waco delenda est, she shouted. The presidential flim-flam speech should be shown to anyone with a sexual addiction problem. No one can feel romantic after listening to all the things we want to hear, but will be denied. While he was lying like a Persian rug, he reminded us we have to treat Muslims better. He should have given that part of the brainwashing lecture at Dover Air Force Base as they unloaded the 900th body back from Afghanistan. Bush, the cowboy, only lost 461 troopers over 8 years. Obama's about to pass him without even trying. Never forget, the cowboy also planted the Husseins on Sandal Hill. The only Hussein that is left is looking for his proof of citizenship. And we won't have to peach this Soros payee. They can get him on no papers, and the Kennel Club does not count. Last night, as I watched all the people who can hurt us the most, standing and cheering like they were in the ballroom of the Titanic, the sinker and the sinkee, I saw the top three people in charge of my country, two flag burners, collaborators, and a George Soros, a puppet president. And he's going after big companies. 40 days before, why don't you go after big Hollywood and get some of that Sean Penn windfall profits for making communist propaganda. 40 days before 9-1-1, Joe Biden voted SJR-7 to let the American flag burn, calling it freedom of speech. Now, you think Joe in his heart of hearts wanted to vote to burn that flag? No. He was given orders by the Party of Death, the DNC, the Divide and Conquer Party, the DNC, the Dilatation and Curettage Party, who's all upset this week because there's going to be a pro-life message on the Super Bowl. Yeah, God forbid a baby went out on the playing field. They probably all give it a thumbs down. God help us, man. Country is gone. Gone to the dogs. Mondo Cane is back. So, let's see what Joe Biden did. He voted to let the flag burn, calling it freedom of speech. And he just came back from Iraq, where he promised to overturn a U.S. judge's 90-page ruling. And that judge's name is Urbino. And God bless you, Judge Urbino, for saving American lives. You're the one who should be decorated. And this Judge Urbino issued a 90-page ruling absolving the Blackwater self-defense shooters from Sharia justice, or injustice, depending if you're a woman in a burqa being buried above the waist. Uday Pelosi voted to burn the flag 55 days before 9-1-1 and demanded a bigger plane to fly her staff to Syria and autograph Iranian IEDs, the new improved Iranian IEDs, with the copper lugs. Obama came to office with $4 million. If he does as good as President Pinocchio Pants, he'll leave with $137 million on the books, without a windfall profits tax. Did you see Chuck Schumer jumping up and down yesterday when they announced they're going after big business? Yeah, Chuck Ilievich Schumer. I call him Heinrich Schumer. The dreaded Scott decision to delouse the Kennedy seat is not a re-puppy victory. You know, they're all worried about Scott, Dred Scott. What's his name? Scott Brown. Scott Brown. How can I forget a name like Brown? So, they're all upset that he unseated Ted Kennedy. Yeah, who is now paying for all his sins. Whew, I think I need a glass of water. I'm feeling hot. McCain, Lindsey Graham, Comrade Lugar, Orrin Hatch, and the assorted milquetoasts are obstacles to good tea. You can throw in Arlen Ping Pong Ball Spector and Match McConnell, Those two also voted to burn the flag. 40 days before 9/11, 48 senators voted to burn the flag. 48. Okay? And that stopped at the flag desecration vote. And you know what? You say, well, it was before 9/11, and the country was in a false sense of aural security. Yeah, they had the President of the United States taking bribes, being delivered by the guy that's bringing Al-Qaeda to New York, or what's his name? Eric Holder. He's Holder. He was holding the money. Yeah, alleged. He's an alleged criminal. Yeah, he was holding the money. Puerto Rican pardons, Mark Rich's golden saxophone. Yeah, and that's why the Swiss banks won't give Clinton's account number. They refuse to give it. They give the FBI anything they want but Clinton's account number. Yeah. Oh, no, not our president. He wouldn't be taking a dime. Yeah. It all depends on what the meaning of is. Is I stealing, or is you ain't my baby. Yep. So, Match McConnell, 48 senators voted to burn the flag. 40 were Democrats. That's party over country. No matter when Uday Pelosi, the fifth imam, actually Obama bin Laden is the fifth imam. It's in the Holy Book. Yeah, the Spirit of America party book. Yeah. Don't get me started. 40 Democrats. I told you that even stands for dilatation and curettage. One thing you should know about flag burners, 80% of all flag burners are baby killers. They'll vote to burn the flag, and they'll vote to kill kids. Now, that was 40 days before 9/11. So everybody says, well, that was when we were in a false sense of security. And now everybody stands in line at the airport because we can't defend ourselves anymore. And every day, America takes another hit on the home front. Okay? And only by the grace of God did that Sudanese boy not blow that plane out of the sky. There would be 280 names, and there would be 280 Democrats on the next committee to investigate the investigators. Yeah, that's what they do. They form a committee, they have an investigation, they run for office during the hearings when the press lights are on, and then they write a book. And this is your government. These are the people that took an oath to protect the United States. They took an oath. Yeah. Has anybody got change of a five? Oh, man. So, what did I say? I said that Obama has come to office with $4 million, and if he does as good as President Pinocchio Pants, he'll leave with $137 million on the books. And the dreaded Scott decision to douse the Kennedy seat is not a Republican victory. I don't want the Republicans taking credit for it. They are the lesser of two evils, and sadly, America has been voting traditionally for the lesser of two evils. It was either Gore or Bush, okay? And if we had Gore, I'll tell you right now, there'd be two cities missing in the United States. Yeah, and he would blame it on global warming. Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. Arlen Ping Pong, a ball spectra. This guy changes. He changes sides more times than he changes his underwear. And Match McConnell, okay, they also voted to burn the flag. There's an old Irish rebel tune entitled Wrap the Flag Around Me, Boys. But the American second line in the song is, but don't give Senator Banzai Nelson matches. You ever see Senator Nelson? He's an astronaut. It's the only astronaut spelled with two S's. And they were thinking of letting him go to the moon, but they were afraid even without oxygen, he would find a way to burn the flag. But he looks like he wouldn't harm a fly unless it was American. If you're not sure Who Will Hurt You for Certain, You Gotta Consult My Patriot's Almanac, The Spirit of America Party Book. You get The Spirit of America Party Book, and we go back at least 4 years on who the rats are. And they are, and you know what? Right now what's happening? They're playing undercover whack-a-mole. They come up and they go down, they come up and go down, which is bad. Because before Scott Brown got elected in Massachusetts, and before the Detroit Obama failed in his attempt, they were all above ground, brazen and defiant. Screw America. We can do it. We're in control. Now they're getting worried. So a lot of them are going underground. Now it's going to be hard to tell who the real rats are, because they're going to have to grow another rattle. So if you're not sure who will hurt you for certain, consult my Patriot's Almanac, Spirit of America Party Book. Read the list and weep for your country. You're going to be heartbroken when you read the list. Evan Bayh is now teaming up with John McCain. Russell Feingold teamed up with John McCain. Does John McCain ever team up with Americans? Give me a break here. Give me an absolute break. Lindsey Graham. He's saying what you want to hear. He doesn't mean a word of it. Never forget what Uncle Tom says. The lips can say anything, but the heart doesn't lie. Lindsey Graham has a treacherous heart. Never trust a guy that wears brown shoes with a blue suit. So, read the list and weep for your country. America is almost out of ammo. We have one ballot bullet left. Avenge 9/11 September in November. No more terms for termites. And let me go back to what I'm saying about the whack-a-moles. They're going back underground. And I'm going to tell you, all the whack-a-moles were above the ground, the surface of the ground, when Eric Holder announced he was giving an open invitation for Bin Laden to come to New York and finish us off. Okay? And not one politician, except for King, not one politician stood up and said, this is uncalled for, this cannot be. We are not going to allow these people. There'll be riots in the streets if these terrorists show up here for trial in New York. Not one politician, not Chuck Schumer, a flag burner, not Hillary Clinton, a flag burner, not Congress Mouse Nadler, a flag burner, Congressman Ackerman, a flag burner, okay? None of them. The mayor didn't. None of them. And they weren't even informed by Holder that the... that they had to host Al-Qaeda. And that's what they're doing. They're hosting Al-Qaeda. Now, the grumblings are getting louder, and they're going to start to squirm. Don't let them off the hook. None of them stood up and blocked Eric Holder's attempt to have a carnival in New York. So, get them all. Fire them all. If you're not sure who will hurt you for certain, consult my Patriot's Almanac. No more terms for termites. Let the shout heard round the world say, you're fired. It's time we got fresh crooks. And sidebar to FIB Chief Mueller. Protect the airports and guard the mosques from the inside, and then you'll get a twofer. If you're going to guard the mosques, at least listen to the preaching inside. You know, the one where they say death to America and all American taxpayers are Jews. Oh, you never heard that in the mosque? Well, you're on the outside. Get on the inside. If you're going to protect the mosques, do it from the inside and bring a tape recorder. Talk to you guys. I'll give you a tune.
Been away from you a long time. I never thought I'd miss you so. Somehow I feel your love is real. Near you I want to be. The birds are singing in a song time. The banjo's running soft and low. I know that you yearn for me too. Swanee, you're calling me. Swanee. love you, my dear old Swanee. I'd give the world to be among the folks in CIXI, even though my mammy's waiting for me, praying for me down by the Swanee. The folks up north will see me no more when I get to that Swanee shore. I love the old folks at home, Swanee. How I love you, how I love you, my dear old Swanee. I give the world to be among the folks in CIXI, even though my mammy's waiting for me, praying for me down by the Swanee. The folks up north will see me no more when I get to that Swanee shore.
Never forget that we're at war. Just because Congress wasn't brave enough to declare an act of war and they went through the routine, we can't identify who's attacking us. We're at war. We're in a state of war. Never forget that. Not until the last bad Muslim is dead. Hi, you boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America Party in the Spirit of America Party book.com. We're going to try and have a good show for you tonight. Our topic is communism, and I'm going to see if I can get Jimmy from Brooklyn to call in. And Jimmy from Brooklyn has spent his whole life fighting communism. He goes to all their rallies, he takes notes, he documents everything. And he knows how the communists work their trade. And unfortunately for us, we have no idea how dangerous the threat of communism is, even in our own government. So let's see if I can get Jimmy on the show.
Hang in there, folks. That was, I just played a tune. We don't have Jimmy from Brooklyn, but let's see what we got here.
Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book.com.
It is reported tonight that President Obama bin Laden has signed 5 executive orders. That's 4 more than most presidents have done in their first few days in office. Okay, but that's neither here nor there. But 3 of them are related to the protection of terrorists at the expense of the American people. So I'm going to give you a deja vu, a rendezvous, and I'm going to tell you that everything goes back to the Clintons, who are now in power again. Obama is not in power. He's not his own man. The Clintons are calling all the shots, and all the Clinton termites are calling all the shots. And I'm going to talk to you about a guy who's forgotten. He's one of the first victims of terrorism on the Clinton watch, and his name is Louis Pepe. He was a 300-pound federal prison guard in New York City. Okay? And today, he feels his way around an empty room because he's blind. Not only is he blind, but he's subject to seizures. His life is not worth living. He has to reinforce hope every day. Okay, he was the victim of a double-teamed attack while he was escorting 2 terrorists who were responsible for the World Trade Center bombing that Clinton ignored. Okay, and these 2 terrorists were living a cozy life in a New York City jail, and they didn't even have inspections in their prison cell, and they didn't toss their bunks because they had rights, just like the Gitmo murderers are going to have rights over your rights. Your right to live and survive. So Louis Pepe was escorting 2, not 1, but 2 terrorists back to their cells. And one of them sprayed his face with hot sauce and blinded him. And the other one took a comb that he bought in the commissary and sharpened it down to a dagger and stabbed him in the eye 3 inches into his brain. Okay? And when the FBI came to see the video, because there's videos in all of the prison walks, there was no video. How's that? No video. 1 guard with 2 criminals. 1 unarmed guard with 2 criminals. So Louis Pepe got no justice. But the sad part about it is, when Louis Pepe went to court to listen to the sentencing of the terrorist that stabbed his life away, the judge said that it wasn't an act of terror. I think her name is Brenda Batts, and her middle name is Ding. And when Pepe protested, she had him removed from the courtroom. I'm surprised she didn't try and stab him in the other eye. So I'm going to read you some excerpts on the reporting that took place at the time that this happened. So hang in there a second. If you Google Louis Pepe, you'll get Louis Pepe, the actor, for pages and pages. But Louis Pepe, the victim, the all-around American good guy, you'll be hard to find him. Soon he will disappear as the communists rewrite history. Louis will be gone from Google Earth. Prison guard claims government is sanitizing his brutalization. This is from a left-wing article, okay? Louis Pepe was a federal prison guard at MCC Manhattan in 2000, the year 2000, when he was brutally attacked, stabbed in the eye, and more by 2 of the defendants in the case involving the 1998 bombings
of the U.S. embassies in Africa. One of the attackers, Mamdou Mahmoud Salim, was reported to be an associate of Osama bin Laden, who Clinton never got. But he went around asking, when is Bush going to get bin Laden for 8 years? Salim gets a sentence Monday, and Pepe plans to be there. He is outraged that Salim will only get 17 to 21 years for the assault. That's murder to me. You take a man's eye, what is the saying, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth? You take a man's eye, you take his life. Even though he is facing trial and a possible life sentence on conspiracy charges for the 1998 attack. We can't say we blame him. If you read the account of the attack, it sounds horrific. But what's up with Pepe's claim that the U.S. government has downplayed the attack and cast him in a role that suggests he was careless in allowing the attack to happen? This is one sad story, and here's some of it. In an interview Sunday with the Associated Press, who does not love America, Pepe sat in his wheelchair in a small room in a Queens house where he lives with his parents. Pepe and the government and Salim have combined to sanitize what Pepe said the government and Salim have combined to sanitize what happened on the 1st of November. This guy gets stabbed in the eye on All Saints Day. Portraying the assault as quick and almost entirely Salim's doing after the guard failed to handcuff the inmates. Pepe said he will tell the judge how he properly handcuffed the inmates before they slipped free, blinded him with hot sauce, beat him repeatedly, and even tried to rape him before stabbing him to get his keys in a bid to free other suspected terrorists. Both of them did it, not just one, Pepe said excitedly, his right eye wide open and a piece of gauze resting in the socket where his left eye used to be. Pepe said the attack lasted an hour rather than 20 minutes that prison authorities maintain it took for help to arrive from less isolated parts of Manhattan's Metropolitan Correctional Center. Pepe described how he resisted throughout the attack, even giving his inmates his house keys when they demanded his prison keys. He said the inmates scrawled the sign of the cross in his blood on his chest before they left him for dead. In the end, Pepe walked out of the cell block, the sharpened comb still stuck in his eye. He said Sunday that he had warned the government before the attack not to let the terrorism inmates bunk together or be issued sturdy plastic combs and condiments such as hot sauce and honey. For more than 2 years, Pepe was hospitalized. He suffered a stroke that left him partially paralyzed. You don't even know this guy. You don't even know this act of terror took place downtown New York City. When they demanded his prison keys. For more than 2 years, he was hospitalized, he suffered a stroke, and he left him partially paralyzed, along with pneumonia, a collapsed lung, seizures, infections, a blood clot, and high fevers. He underwent brain surgery and spent 3 weeks in a coma. He still lives in a modest home where he once took care of his ailing parents, who now take care of him, despite their ages of 79 and 80. "We want his name cleared," says Pepe's father, Frank Pepe, emphasizing the family's discontent with the government's level of support for his son. "We want the house fixed. I'm not going to live forever. I want him set up so he's comfortable." Pepe sleeps on a small donated bed and maneuvers his wheelchair across worn floors. Almost no one visits him. Pepe said his pain from the collapsed left side of his head to the stroke-damaged legs is chronic. "Every day it hurts so much that it feels like I'm going to be dead." And we hope that the truth comes out. How's that? Okay, that's one article. Hang in there, I'll give you somebody else's article. This I found on Federal Jack. Panel rules a jail stabbing constituted terrorism. New York Times, a reputed former leader of Al-Qaeda, who was serving 32 years in prison for stabbing a jail guard in 2000, must be resentenced, a federal appeals panel in Manhattan ruled on Tuesday, because a judge wrongly concluded that the man's crime did not meet the legal standard for terrorism. did not meet the legal. Federal prosecutors who argued that the attack met the standard for terrorism, and this is what's going to go on here in the new, in all over the country when these Al-Qaeda boys leave Gitmo. And you know what? They're going to all come back to haunt us. Whether they come back in Afghanistan and kill more Americans or Iraq or in Djibouti or in New York City and in Texas, they're coming. And federal prosecutors, they have a life's work. It's their life's work to kill Americans. They want to put the cross in blood on your chest. Federal prosecutors who argued that the attack met the standard for terrorism had sought a life sentence for the defendant, Mamdou Mahmoud Salem. Officials have described him as a founder of Al-Qaeda and a former top aide to Osama bin Laden. He pleaded guilty to stabbing the guard, Louis Pepe, in 2002. Prosecutors said the stabbing was part of a fruitless plan to take hostages and escape from the Metropolitan Correctional Center in Lower Manhattan, downtown New York, and nobody knew what was going on. And nobody knew on September 10, 2001, there was anything going on. Mr. Pepe, who was stabbed in the eye, was left with severe brain damage. At the time of the stabbing, Mr. Salem was awaiting trial in a terrorist conspiracy case stemming from the 98 bombings of two American embassies, which Clinton ignored. I still remember the people in Kenya and Tanzania. I seen 500 blacks sitting in blood. They were just passers-by, in which 224 people were killed. He later testified that he had become frustrated with his lawyers and stabbed Mr. Pepe so he could take his keys, unlock a visitor's room, and attack his lawyers so they would withdraw from his case. In sending the case back for a new sentence, a three-judge panel of the United States Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit held unanimously that the attack included the required elements to be considered a crime in the furtherance of terrorism under the sentencing guidelines at the time. Judge John Walker Jr. wrote the decision, which was joined by Judges John O. Newman and Sonia Sotomayor. Eileen L. Trotter, Mr. Pepe's sister, said after being told of the ruling, "This is definitely our early Christmas gift." She said that her brother continues to improve with the assistance of physical therapy and treatments. And Richard B. Lind, who represents Mr. Salem in the assault case, said he planned to ask Judge Deborah A. Batts to impose the same 32-year sentence on his client rather than a harsher one. So Deborah Batts is the bastard that sold out America, and she's a judge. And how did she get to be a judge? Who wasn't paying attention? And here's the story that took place at the hearing. As attacker is sentenced, a victim vents disgust and is ejected. Now remember, Deborah Batts is sitting on the bench. Batty Batts. A former Manhattan jail guard who was stabbed in the eye with a sharpened comb by a top aide to Osama bin Laden in 2000 was ejected from his attacker's sentencing hearing yesterday. And let me tell you something, guys. If you're out there on the battlefield, we don't need prisoners. We do not need to make a citizen's arrest. We need to win the war, and the way you win the war is you kill the enemy. And they came on the battlefield to kill you. Make sure that they leave the same way that you don't leave, the way they want you to leave. You make sure you take care of number one, and you finish him off on the battlefield. After he repeatedly shouted at the defendant and the judge. So Pepe got upset at the hearing. Dozens of his fellow correction officers walked out in protest from the hearing, at which the defendant was sentenced to 32 years in prison. "You are no good. Do you understand me?" the guard Louis Pepe yelled at Mamdou Mahmoud Salem. The defendant, "Why don't you kill me? I am dead." The judge, Deborah Batts of Federal District Court, ejected Mr. Pepe after he had been warned several times about outbursts that occurred outside the formal time allotted for his comments. As United States Marshals,
escorted him out of the courtroom in his own country. Mr. Pepe's voice, I put that in there, Mr. Pepe's voice echoed in the marble hall of the courthouse in Lower Manhattan. At the time of the attack at the correctional center in Lower Manhattan, Salim was awaiting charges of participating in a terrorism conspiracy. He's a founding member of Al-Qaeda, and he pleaded guilty to sharpening a comb and stabbing it into Pepe's eye. The stabbing was part of what prosecutors said was a larger plot to brutalize even more people, including Mr. Salim's lawyer, whom he wanted replaced with new counselors. Mr. Salim sharpened the comb using the underside of his concrete desk in his cell at the correctional center. He used the comb to attack Mr. Pepe in order to seize the keys to 10 South, the wing of the correctional center. Prosecutors have said he intended to free his co-defendants and take hostages. There was nobody watching out for Pepe. There wasn't nobody bird-dogging Pepe. He's cunning, he's devious, he's brutal, a prosecutor, Robert Bueller, told Judge Batts in seeking a life sentence. Officer Pepe was truly a nice man and a good person, and Salim picked him for that very reason. He lost his left eye because of the stabbing and some of the sight in his right eye. He bears a scar across the left side of his head above his ear. He has lost much of his movement in his right arm and leg, and 70% of his ability to speak. That could be your son that you got to take care of once this once these nuts turn all of the terrorists loose. And they're going to turn them loose. He was in court yesterday in a wheelchair to give what is referred to by the court system as a victim's impact statement. At times rambling and incomprehensible during the statement, Mr. Pepe raised his voice and banged his palm on the table from which he spoke. He repeatedly pointed to Mr. Salim, who held his head low. "Have you really ever looked?" he said, pointing to his left eye socket. "There's nothing in there." Mr. Pepe cannot read anymore, his sister Eileen Trotter said in a written statement. She gave to the court and the news media that she used the bright red images drawn on yellow paper to help Mr. Pepe remember what he wanted to say yesterday. Mr. Pepe described the torturous beating with punches and kicks after he had fallen to the ground, blinded by hot sauce. Mr. Salim and his cellmate, Khalfan Khamis Mohammed, his co-defendant in the embassy bombings, squirted into his face. At one point, he said he thought, "Oh God, please kill me. What did I do?" Mr. Pepe asked Judge Batts, "If you can, make it never, never, never," a reference, it seemed, to when Mr. Salim should be released from prison. And then later, Mr. Salim, Richard B. Lynn, enraged Mr. Pepe when he suggested that there was no prolonged torture on the day of the stabbing. Mr. Lynn also argued against a prison sentence that would exceed the federal guidelines, adding that Mr. Salim, who pleaded guilty to conspiracy and attempted murder, could have killed Mr. Pepe but did not. What, are you kidding me? At this point, Mr. Pepe shouted no from the audience. The judge asked for silence, and someone in the courtroom gallery protested, "Let him speak." As Pepe began to speak, Judge Batts asked the Marshals Service to step in and remove Mr. Pepe from the courtroom. Now, this is the guy who should be governor of the state of New York. So, you know what? He's out on disability. He was making $47,000 a year, and he took care of his aging parents. How's that? And now he's on two-thirds of $47,000. He sits blind in a room. And here's an article from CNN. Prosecutors don't have video of jail stabbing. When Federal Corrections Officer Louis Pepe was stabbed in the eye inside the maximum security wing, of Manhattan's federal jail last November, the video cameras were on, as they are 24 hours a day, the monitor screens working. But when FBI agents investigated the attack, which allegedly came at the hands of terrorist conspirators, what could have been powerful evidence did not exist. There was no videotape showing the hallways and cells at the time of the attack. A federal jury heard on Thursday as the Pepe stabbing was recounted for the second day. Government prosecutors are offering the incident as proof of the future probable danger from Khalfan Khamis Mohammed, the convicted Tanzania embassy bomber who faces the death penalty.
And Mohammed shared a jail cell at the time with his inmate. So the two guys were in the same cell. Boy, that really makes sense. How's that for security? I bet you Justin Volpe doesn't get to share a cell with anybody. How sad. Absolutely sad. The comb, a turned weapon, was purchased at the jail commissary. According to prosecution evidence, FBI Joel Felsch told the jury that agents found commissary receipts inside the inmate cell indicating that Salem had purchased two combs and a brush, and that Mohammed had purchased two brushes since the beginning of their incarceration. Oh, they must do a lot of hairdos. The government alleges Salem also stabbed one of the officers responding to the Pepe attack with a brush sharpened into a shank. Agents found 6 handwritten scraps of paper inside the Mohammed Salem cell, but no agents could recall the notes' exact locations. For example, under which bed were they found, and the only fingerprints and palm prints detected on the notes belonged to Salem and FBI fingerprint analyst Charles Akubelis. And they went into their own routine, we're Muslims and we're being discriminated against. Yeah. Okay, so that's it. So you met Louis Pepe. How do you feel about him? Would you like to go visit him? Where is he today? Is he happier or sadder? How do you think he felt on 9-1-1? Do you think he tore his heart out on 9-1-1? Listening to those people screaming, whose screams were silenced in a minute and a half, and we got a president that just has decided he's going to turn them all loose. He's going to give them back to other countries. Who's he going to give them to? Yemen? They go home for lunch in Yemen. How can he give them to a country that tortures worse than we do? How can he do a Pontius Pilate? The man is a fool. He's a dupe. And he's done bad news today. And many a black soldier will die because of it. Along with their white brothers.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed his fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Of 100 circling camps, they have built for him an altar in the evening dews and depths. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His face is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Figures you and me, as he died to make men whole, let us live to make men free, while God is marching on.
Did you happen to see the Coptic Christians in Egypt being gunned down coming out of midnight mass? There's a lot of persecution of Coptic Christians. You notice that if you see Coptic Christian churches in this country, it's hard to tell the difference between them and Catholic churches. There's one in my neighborhood that's got a beautiful stained glass window of the Blessed Virgin, and the name of the church is St. Michael the Archangel and St. Mina. And it's nice to see religion flourishing. Sadly, Muslims do not tolerate any other religion. And I heard somebody talking that the Kuwaitis don't allow crosses. And that's not quite true. There is a church in Kuwait that has crosses carved in the door. They can't have a cross on top of a steeple. But and I got to tell you something. If you want to see religion, the fervor of religion, you go to Kuwait on a 140-degree day, and you watch truckloads of Indian workers going to church. They not only fill the church, which is a pretty big church, they fill the parking lot in the sun, with the sun beating down on them. They worship God in a way you wouldn't believe. You know, it's quite a testimony to the power of religion. These Coptic Christians, I did a little research on these Egyptians. I always felt that, you know, the first hegira was not the hegira of Mohammed. The first hegira was the Holy Family leaving Israel. Fleeing Israel to go to Egypt to hide out because King Herod had opened the first abortion clinic in Israel. Okay, and he was executing all children, 2-year-old males. So the Egyptians were the first ones to receive Jesus, baby Jesus, and shelter him. So I'm sure that Jesus has a soft spot for Coptic Christians. Now, how were they allowed to survive under Muslim rule when whole cities were executed for refusing to convert to Islam? And the answer is that the Coptic Church sided with Mohammed, supported Mohammed against the Byzantines. They were Egyptians at first. Sort of like how Virginians felt when they were Virginians first during the war between the states. But as a result of their supporting the local establishment, Mohammed decreed that they should not be harmed. But today, they're being shot in the back as they leave a church. One of the saddest stories I heard was a Coptic Christian girl, not unlike the one who just wrote President Obama, but one of the saddest stories was that she was kidnapped by a Muslim and raped just before she was to be wedded to another Coptic Christian. And her father went to the police station to get his daughter released from the clutches of the rapist. And the cops laughed at him. How would you like that to happen to you in this country? You think about that. So we're going to do a little tune, and then we'll talk some more politics. And you could say a little prayer. And I understand that the North Korean Christians are also being persecuted. Yeah, God is a big threat. He's been a threat for a long time. Ever since he started the games at the Colosseum, which emperors lost. I should say he stopped at the games. I hear the communists are upset about a pro-life ad at the Super Bowl. Well, if they really want to get upset, wait till they see halftime. Would you like to hear the song they're going to play at halftime?
Oh, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when it came to winning Blue Ribbon. Well, I bet you taught the other kids how. Well, I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you took the cutest bow. Yeah, you must have been a beautiful baby. Cause baby, won't you look at you now? Come on, you are like it. Judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I know you made the cutest bow. Yeah, you must have been a beautiful baby. Good baby, won't you look at you now? Oh, I mean, oh, beautiful. Oh, beautiful. Oh, beautiful. Oh, beautiful. Oh, beautiful. Oh, beautiful. Oh, I know you're beautiful, too beautiful.
Guy picks and chooses who he bows to. He wouldn't curtsy to the Queen of England, but he bowed to his master in Saudi Arabia, Prince Abdullah. The name Abdul means slave in Arabic. Abdullah means slave of God. And our president's new name is Obama Abdul, Prince Abdullah. And he flew to Japan to take another bow, and the last time I saw an American bow to a Japanese, it was in Bataan. And he was forced to his knees, and he was bayoneted along with the Filipino woman who gave the American a cup of water and God's love. This Mikado-like groveling gave Obama his Asian name, President Butterfly. Now he's home from Hawaiian Ninja Golf and to give us Obamacare at 30,000 feet over Detroit. I am really going to be nervous when the Gitmo Yemeni jail song is going to Kansas City. After a 72-hour seance, Obama forgave the failure of his entire band of czars, which is surprising because usually communists lock czars in basements with their families and then gun everybody down and file their bodies at the bottom of old mine shafts. Unless you're a Polish officer, then you can be massacred with 6,000 fellow Polish officers by the communists and buried in the Katyn forest. But who listens to Georges Santayana? Surely not the nine tenors. Those who ignore the lessons of history are doomed to repeat them over and over. I'm going to start selling T-shirts for Americans saying, I have to learn everything the hard way. Now we are told that all these attacks yet to come are the fault of George Bush, pantyhead, Bow Wow torture. How quick we forget a jihad began at the terrorist gas pumps in 1973 when the fifth imam, Jimmy Carter, could not help me push my car to the regular pump for the 5 jihad tax gallons. When Ben and Sherry's in communist-occupied Vermont announced the Obama political flavor as all chocolate, many voters said it should be half vanilla. Based on our preparations for surrender by trying Navy SEALs and combat colonels while holding Kumbaya trials in 910 in New York courts, I say we is all being fudged. Therefore, President Abdul Prince Abdullah, President Butterfly, can add President Fudge to his titles. But one title he will never get is Defender of the American People. More tea, anyone? Spirit of America Party. And if you want to pay a tribute to the troops, www.captainsblog.us, and just look at some of the ones who died in Iraq for us, so we could all go to bed early tonight and not have to sit up and worry if we're going to get hit until Al-Qaeda comes for the trials in New York.
There may be trouble ahead, but while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Before the fiddlers have fled, before they ask us to pay the bill, and while we still have the chance, let's face the music and dance. Soon we'll be without the moon, humming a different tune, and then there may be teardrops to shed. So while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Let's face the music and dance. The moon humming a different tune, and then there may be teardrops to shed. So while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Let's face the music.